faith, Lord. We want to grow in a knowledge and understanding that causes our faith to be built up, Father, that encourage us to stand and keep on standing in the name of Jesus, to walk with you and allow you to do what you want to do in and through our life, Lord, and ultimately that you are glorified on our path to eternal life with you. Father, we praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. So a little talk this morning, starting with the Apostle Peter. Okay, the Apostle Peter wrote to the churches in the region, and he had a message for them. Okay, and he starts out by kind of thanking God that God has given us this lively hope, he calls it. And that hope is in the resurrection. It's in the salvation. Okay, it's the lively hope that he has given us by raising Jesus from the dead. Okay, that's the hope that we have no matter what we have else in life. We always have the hope that God raised Jesus from the dead and that we have eternal life in heaven with him because of that. He has given us such a wonderful inheritance. Okay, and so Peter starts elaborating. He has given us this inheritance and it's so wonderful, and it even includes the awesomeness of heaven at the end. Okay, but then Peter also speaks to us about the time that we will spend between now and that awesome goal at the end of heaven. Okay, because Peter was, in some ways, you could call him a realist. Okay, he was kind of real-minded. He thought about, you know what, that's an awesome goal. We have this thing going. We have the glorious place that we're going to, and that because of that, we should always have hope in our hearts. But he also realizes that we have a lot of life to live between now and heaven for most of us, right? And at times, he knew that life could be pretty difficult, okay? That we can go through some stuff in life, right? That we go through things that may not be all peachy and happy and fun-loving and all those kind of things, right? Anybody ever gone through something? Am I just speaking to myself here this morning? Because I know, okay, not everything is always great, you know? And so we need to know that. You got to remember, Peter was standing next to Jesus when Jesus said in John 16:33, if you guys want to look it up, I'm trying to go a little slower on the scripture so you guys could actually look them up if you want to. But John, what did I say, 16:33? John 16:33, okay? He says, "These things have I spoken to you." Peter was standing next to him when he said this. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Okay, Jesus says, in the world we shall have tribulation. Okay, that word means distress. Okay, it literally means pressure. Okay, anybody ever feel the pressure of the world around you? Okay, the pressure of finances, the pressure of a job, the pressure of a family, the pressure of all these things that combine together, and it puts this weight on you. It provides a pressure all the way around you that is described as tribulation in the King James Bible. See, Jesus knew that in this world we would have tribulation, but he also knew that our faith during that tribulation would be tried. Okay, and he didn't hide that from his followers. Okay, he said, in the world you shall have pressure. In the world you shall have tribulation. Jesus wasn't hiding it. He wasn't saying, it's always going to be great and peachy, just come follow me. Okay, he didn't lay it out that way. He literally gave us the insight right then and there that in the world you're going to have some pressure. You need to know that up front. Okay, this is written in red. It's while Jesus was still here. He wanted us to know that. So then, when the Christians in that day, when Jesus says this and Peter's addressing them, in that day they had started to grumble because they thought that following Jesus meant that all their trials were going to be over. Okay, the Messiah has come. It's all going to be wonderful. We'll never be in captivity. We'll never have to deal with some of this pressure stuff again. But they found otherwise, right? They found out the reality is now people are now chasing them with swords, because they're preaching Jesus. People are after them and wanting to snuff out whatever they're up to, even just because they're a Christian, right? Okay, so they need to know that. They found out that otherwise that there was these trials and things that they may have. And so Peter writes to them And he basically says, we have hope and we rejoice because we're on our way to heaven. Yet you need to know that the difficulty and the trials, the temptations, and that pressure that you're going through and feeling right now is part of the journey to heaven. You need to know that. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. Don't lose sight of that. But that stuff you're feeling right now is part of getting to that end result. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, 6 is where I got. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says this. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice that you're going to heaven, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, so that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it still might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay, your faith during the season, or that short time, if you look it up, it meant short. Okay, a season, a short season. Okay, during your season, your faith during that season of heaviness becomes more valuable than that of gold or anything else. Okay, your faith is that valuable. Your faith during that is more valuable than gold or anything else to you during that point. Okay, Peter compares the eternal and forever glory of salvation in heaven with the seasonal, temporary, short-term trials and temptations that we endure on the way there. Okay, what you're going through right now, okay, in your life, that may feel like a heaviness of heart. Okay, it may feel like a sorrow. It may feel like a grieving, a sadness. But it's only temporary. Okay, to put it the way that King Solomon is attributed to, this too shall pass. Did you know that's not in the Bible? I had to look that up, see where it came from. They attribute it to King Solomon, but they don't. It's not actually in his writings or in the Bible. Okay, but they say that he's the one that said, this too shall pass. Okay, in other words, this heaviness of heart is just temporary. It's just something that will also pass. We'll get through it. The key is not to let it shake your faith in Christ during that time of heaviness, during that season. Okay, the value and importance of your faith during those trials is compared to what was and still is today one of the most precious commodities out there in gold. Okay, in other words, faith is what you want because faith is what you need to make it through. It's faith. Okay, that's what's going to get you through that trial, that tribulation, that pressure is your faith towards Jesus. Okay, during those numerous temptations that come in our way to try to pull us apart, to try to stray us from God, the genuineness of your faith is being tried or tested. Okay, that's the trial of your faith. Okay, you are being tested during that. Now, the Bible says God will not tempt any man with evil, right? He does not tempt you with sin. Okay, but during those temptations, when it is laid out in front of you, when you're going through a tribulation, the pressure's on, when you're in that, you are being side by side. Your genuineness is coming through that. Okay, God is right there with you, just like he was with Jesus. Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. You remember that whole thing? He went out 40 days, fasted. Okay, and the devil comes and tempts him. God was right there with him to help make sure that he had all the strength that he needed to get through that. Okay, just like he is there for you and I. The end result of a successful trial is a smile on God's face coupled with a warm embrace. Okay, because while you're going through it, this is the way God showed me this morning as I was reading through my notes. I thought, you know, here's what that looks like. I'm in a burning house, right? The fire, the trial is on. God is right there next to me, holding me in his arm like this. Okay, coupled over with you saying, come on, let's get through this. And you both put your head down and go through it. And when you get out that door and you get out that opening and you're away from that fire, then you can look at each other and the look of, we made it, comes through. Okay, that's when God looks at you and he says, we made it. You look at him and says, you made it. You made it happen. We made it together. And you can embrace and enjoy that moment of making it through that trial. Okay, making it through that tribulation, that pressure, that temptation, whatever it was, it can you're strengthened in your faith because of that moment. Okay, persecutions and trials and tribulations, temptations, they end up being a great opportunity for your faith to be strengthened. Okay, and for God to be glorified. Okay, God wants your life to glorify Him. You're created in His image. He made you beautifully and wonderfully made. He wants you and made you righteous so that your life could glorify Him. Okay? It's about Him, the creator of heaven and earth. No, we never forget that. Okay? But He wants these opportunities for your faith to be strengthened during that time and for God to be glorified. Look at a scripture with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Second Thessalonians 1, and we'll look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or right, because that your faith is growing exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you towards all, towards one another, is abounding." Okay? In other words, you're on the right track. And then verse 4, he says, "So much so that we ourselves glory in you in all the churches of God because of your patience and your faith in and during all your persecutions and tribulations that you're enduring." Okay, I'm kind of filling in the blanks on the King James. Okay, "We ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you're enduring." In other words, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, hey, we see all the trials that you guys are going through. We see all that pressure that's on you to quit and give up, and yet you have not caved in. He says, you guys are an encouragement to us, the other churches. And he's thanking them and encouraging them. You guys are making it through, and it's an encouragement to all these other churches because they're looking at you to see if you're going to buckle under the pressure. They're looking at you to see if you're going to give in. Are you going to stumble and fall? Are you going to go back to the way it was? But he says, you guys are an encouragement to all of us. As many Christians mature in their faith and they find themselves still struggling in certain areas, okay, they might be still struggling with relationships, okay, or finances, or besetting sin, something they haven't been able to get victory over. They grow weary, and rather than strengthening their resolve to overcome it, they begin to yield to the failure mentality and give in to the worldly temptations. Okay, because that pressure is so great that after a while you begin to think, it can never be. It can never happen. And they begin to take on that mentality, and pretty soon they start wandering off to the side. They get off course. They lose that track of where they're supposed to be going. Okay? I know someone who is literally not here this morning because when they were going through a tough time in life, they sought out the Lord. And they began to go back to church, and they began to come and show up every time they could, and the doors were open. They began to fellowship with other believers outside the body, and they began to grow in faith again. But at that same time, they had met someone that was not in the church, somebody of a worldly nature, and they began a relationship. And that relationship began to pull at the same time as they're getting it on with God and figuring out this is the way I'm going to get right and everything is good and going in the right direction. And they had this pressure pulling in the opposite direction the entire time. And that person went from being in fellowship 4 or 5 times a week down to none. Okay? That's what happens when we don't give in, or when we do give in to that pressure that gets put on us. There's a parable that Jesus talked about, the sower and the seed, that's a good reminder that there are many people that will fall away altogether because they're not grounded and rooted in God. Okay, they don't get their foundation set. They're still on the surface, and they don't get it set good enough or long enough in order for them to not be able to be uprooted. Others are choked out because they try to share in that same moisture, that same nourishment that the thorns are sucking up. You know what I'm talking about? Remember the parable? Okay, he says some are choked by the cares and riches, cares and pleasures of this life. Okay, and Jesus described them as the thorns. Okay, because they're trying to use the same nourishment, the same water, the same moisture that the thorns are eating. They're trying to use and just enjoy that same nourishment and whatever instead of getting those thorns out so that they can have the full nourishment that they need. Does that make sense? And it's kind of an allegory to the parable, but it shows you that there's people that need to get those weeds out of life because you can't grow up with the thorns. You don't want to do that. It's too hard on you. You'll never reach your full potential when you do that. We've had a lot of people that have come and gone over the years that seem like they were pretty solid believers for a while, at least when things were going good, okay? At least when things were all kind of peachy, but then when things got tough, maybe they had to endure some persecution, okay? Maybe they had to endure some rejection for their faith, okay? Maybe they had to endure some hard time because of their relationship with Jesus. Rather than hunkering down and unifying with the rest of the flock, they wandered off to see what else they could find, and most often it leads to disaster, okay? Most often it leads to that route. I read the scripture the other day. I didn't put it in here. But it talks about it had been better for them if they had not known the way of Christ than to have known Him and gone back to the world. It's a hard place to be. The most miserable people on earth are not the lost people. Most miserable people on earth are the people that had a good relationship with Jesus and fell away. They know the truth deep down inside. Okay? A lone sheep will seldom last more than a few weeks out on their own. Okay, if you took a sheep and put it up in a mountain somewhere, it might be able to find enough nourishment to live until wintertime came, and then it's probably going to perish anyway. Think of that, a dry time or a time when they can't reach the nourishment. Okay, and they'll either die from that if they make it that long at all. Most likely within a few weeks or even a few days, they're going to be gobbled up by the wolves or coyotes or whatever else is out there. Okay, you can't make it as a lone sheep. Okay, God never intended for us to do that. Okay. The watching TV preachers, you know, that's what I hear sometimes. People, well, I watch church on TV and I read my devotion every day and, you know, I'm okay. Okay? But they're not fellowshipping with the believers. They're not gathering together with the fellowship and the flock. Okay? A TV preacher is not the same as having a real pastor that'll speak into your life and tell you you need to get back on track. Okay, a TV preacher is not the same as joining together with fellowship and friends that are they're walking the walk the best they can, and they're going to encourage you, and they'll pray for you, and they'll look for your need, and they'll help you. Okay, it makes a difference. Okay, you need people to speak into your life, help keep you on the right path. Where there is no accountability, they simply won't make it. Okay, you just can't. You can for a little bit, but it won't last. One of the greatest indicators of a Christian's maturity level is to see how they handle afflictions. Okay, how do they go through stuff? What do they do at that moment? Do they turn and run? You know, oh man, this is conflict. Oh, I can't deal with this. I'm going to run the other way. Do they isolate? Do they separate themselves from the body and just think, I'm just not worthy to go through it? Or do they know where their strength comes from? Do they know where their help comes from and that unity of the brethren? Okay, we must learn to persevere in our purpose, not lose sight of the end result, not lose sight of the goal, that our life is really about glorifying God. Okay, look at a scripture again in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, put your head down and run forward. Don't turn aside. Don't look to the other way. Don't let those things hold you back anymore. And even the besetting sin or the thing that tries to afflict you, the thing that tries to slow you down, push it aside and keep going forward. Don't let that thing get in your way and say, this is too much for you. You need to turn around and go back. Okay? We have the strength that we need to be able to push that aside and to go forward and run that race with patience. Okay? Patience is a key to going through the trials because sometimes we want the answer right now. We want it to be done right now. Okay? But it doesn't happen that way. We have to endure for the long haul, not the short one. Okay? We're in this till the end. Remember, this is Peter and Paul, and these guys are writing a plan on how to get from point A here on earth, where you're at right here, right now, today, to heaven. This isn't, it's going to be here tomorrow. This isn't, here's how you act today necessarily. It's, this is what you need to know to get you through to heaven, to get you to the other side, to get you to the end of that trial. Okay, so remember what your life is here for. Remember what you are here for. Your life is not your own anymore. You gave it to Jesus. You said, Father God, I give you my life. Anybody say a prayer like that? Okay? I give you my life. I lay down my life. I take up the cross. I follow after you. Okay? You're a part of the kingdom of God, and you're on a mission now to let your life glorify your King. Okay? Let your life be about the Father. Now, we don't always like to admit it, especially charismaniac Christians. You guys are the worst. Okay? We don't like to admit that sometimes things aren't so good. Okay? We fake it till we make it. Okay? We faith it through. Okay, we do all this stuff, but sometimes we need to admit that this life includes a constant shaking to see what is going to remain and what is not. Okay, what did Jesus tell Peter? I believe he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Okay, he wants to sift you. Okay, the devil wants to do that and to shake you and to find out what you're made of. Okay, because if he can, he's going to put some pressure on the people around you. If he can, he's going to put pressure on you, but then he's going to put it on the people around you. Then he's going to put it on your employer. You're going to put pressure. Okay? Pressure, pressure, tribulation, pressure, right? And he's going to try to cause you to stumble and to turn and to say, it's too much. I need to just back off a little bit on this Jesus stuff. It's too much. I'm losing friends over the deal, right? Okay? It's not working out so great. People, I don't have as many friends as I used to. Or I'm not, you know, as popular as I once was or whatever. But our Christian life involves a deep, deep commitment to Jesus. And unless you are holding on, focused with everything you've got, you won't stick with him. Okay? We've got to get through to the other side of these tribulations and things that come in life. Even in the days when Jesus walked the earth, there were times when Jesus would tell the people about the intensity of the commitment that was involved in following after him. And even some of the disciples and people that had been with him and close to him turned away. It was too hard for them to handle. Okay, Jesus says it takes a commitment to follow me. It's not just a happy-go-lucky deal that you're doing. Okay, as soon as he told them some of these things, people would literally turn and walk away. They're like, what? You mean we just can't continue living the way we've always lived and just show up on Sundays at the synagogues or Saturdays or whatever it is? Okay? Okay? We can't just do that. They're like, you mean we still have to endure afflictions? We still have to go through tribulation? I thought that was all going to be over if we followed you. And people said, no way. I don't want to endure afflictions and still have to go through stuff as a Christian. I'm not going that way. And they went back to the way of the world. Unfortunately, here's what happens. People get the impression, somehow, that life as a Christian is always peachy. Okay, just good times. It's just good stuff. And we do it. We put on that smile, man. We shine everywhere we go. We're bright. And everybody's, most of the time we are, right? Most of the time we are. On occasion, though, we're not. Okay, on occasion, we're not peachy on the inside, and things begin to come through. And on occasion, it doesn't shine so bright. And on occasion, it, you know, may not be that great going on the inside. People have got the impression that they think if you're a good Christian and you're doing everything right, that you will not have to endure any temptations or afflictions. So then when things do arise, all of a sudden, it all hits the fan, and you're like, what's going on? I can't believe this. I thought I was a Christian. I didn't think this was supposed to happen. And people get frustrated. They don't know how to handle it. They start getting flustered. Okay? And then what do? Just like most people, here's what happens. They internalize it, and they start taking that holy vent, whatever it is, and they do this. They scoop it up, and they point it right here. And they say, I must be doing something wrong. Okay, this isn't supposed to happen to Christians. I must be doing something wrong. Or maybe God is mad at me. I probably did something I didn't even know I did, and God's mad at me. Okay, people internalize a negative event and say, it's probably all just my fault. Okay, I probably really did something bad to make this happen. Okay, rather than setting their mind and their heart to overcome, Okay, to get through it, no matter what, I'm going to get through it. I love the testimony. Angie Martinez used to come here, and she's still a friend, and she shared her testimony of being healed of some cancers and things going on in her body. But she said her first reaction was not to overcome and endure. Her first reaction was to go home, start packing, go home, start giving her stuff away. She had less than 6 months to live. She's going to start giving it away and just kind of started to give in to that. And she talked to a pastor friend that encouraged her and said, no, you stand up and you fight. You fight through this. You fight it to the end, no matter what. And she got up and she started fighting. She started going back to the doctor and said, I don't care what it says, doc. I'm going to live. I'm going to live long and prosper in the name of Jesus. And she started that testimony and saying it and repeating it until her body believed it. Okay, and she ended up being healed and making it through that. But rather than set their mind to overcome, some people just give in to those internalization that, oh, this is just the way it's going to be. Okay, they let their determination and their steadfastness, their faithfulness, they let it cave in. Okay, let it backslide. I know people that will backslide because of one single trial in their life. One thing that didn't go the way they thought it would. One bad experience, and now they can no longer go to church. One bad experience, and they just can't do that God stuff anymore, okay? Because they're taking that one event and letting the devil ruin their walk with God. It's like they've endured an earthquake. You've seen some of the earthquakes and things. Thank God we don't have too big ones around here, although we had some dishes fall out of the cupboard last night. I'm not sure what that was, but maybe a cat. I don't know. But anyway, we don't have a lot of earthquakes around here, but you've seen what they look like in the rubble on TV. But it's like when an earthquake happens, or in a Christian's life, when you come up against something and it's this big ordeal and it's big, it's bigger than you are, and you got to face it and you get into that. I liken it to an earthquake, that it's like an earthquake and the house just crumbled right around you. Okay, now you have some options. You can either crawl out and start rebuilding, or you can crawl out and just keep wandering off into emptiness. Just walk and walk and walk. Okay. You got to get out and start rebuilding. You got to determine that I'm going to get through this. No matter what just happened, I'm coming out on the other side. Remember that arm in arm. God is with you. Jesus is right there saying, let's get through this. Let's start building it back up. Let's do what we need to do. Okay. Some people enter a season of heaviness and they assume this is all it'll ever be. It'll never be any better than this. It's never going to get better. It's never going to change. I tell you, your life is such a vapor on this earth. It is such a tiny moment to God. And yet we think it's the, man, my life is everything, to, you know, that it's this big monstrous thing and this little tiny event is this big because we've made it that way. Okay, we've put it in the wrong perspective. Okay, people start thinking that this is all it's ever going to be and they give in to that oppression that the enemy is trying to put on them. They give in to that, this is all you'll ever be, and that oppression, and they give in to it. But we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, the scripture says, right? We know ahead of time that our adversary is going to tempt us and try to knock us off course. We already know that. He hates God, and he wants nothing more than to cause you to bring shame to his name instead of glory to the name. Okay, the devil wants you to bring shame to his name, to God's name, instead of giving the glory to the name of God. Let's look at a scripture. Finally get to the one that prompted this message. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you're following along. First Peter 4, I'm going to look at 12, 13, and 14. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's still being glorified. You're still living it out. Think it not strange when the trial comes. Okay, think it not strange when the trial comes. That means foreign, like it doesn't belong. Okay, or it's from not from around here kind of thing. foreign, strange. Okay? Beloved, think it not strange when the trial comes. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. So why should it shock you when it happens? Why would it shock you when somebody turns their nose up at you because you say, hey man, can I pray for you? Or why would that shock you if somebody turns away from you, doesn't want to be your friend? Why would it shock you if you make somebody feel uncomfortable because you're a man or woman of God and they're not? Why would that shock you? Why would it doesn't shock me, I guess, when people don't come in to the church because they just don't. They're afraid of God. That doesn't shock me. I understand that. It's part of that relationship that they need with God. The devil is described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So why would it surprise you that he tries to bring some difficulty into your life and tries to get you to stumble? Okay? If you anticipate that the enemy is going to shake your faith, he's going to try to trip you up, then you can do something about it. Okay? If you're driving down a road and you've got a cup of coffee in your hand and you hit a big bump that you didn't see coming, you're going to wear some of that coffee, right? Man, I used to drive for UPS, a UPS truck, and there's a road out here called Kennecott Highway that is so rough that it has some spots on it that I kid you not, if you hit them at 70, which is the fastest those trucks would go, if you're just flying along and you hit these bumps like this, the back wheels of your truck will come off the ground before you get done. Okay, it's that big of a bump. Now, I have a coffee mug while I'm thinking of it, but I used to carry a coffee mug a lot similar to this. I've been using the same style. It might be this one. It's kind of beat up and ugly, but like this, and you'd set it in that little coffee holder. There's a little round circle right there on your dash that you can put that in. This coffee cup would end up about 6 feet behind you after going through a bump like that, right? It's going to do some damage. All your packages in those truck would move about 2 feet forward. It was quite an experience. I did it once, okay? Never did it again. You know why? I knew the road. I had been down that road before. I knew that there were some bumps up on there. I knew the mile marker was coming up. There it is. Yep, the bumps are coming up. And you'd let off the gas. You would slow down. You would do whatever you needed to do so that it wouldn't spill your coffee again. Okay, if you know that the devil is going to try to trip you up, you know that he's going to put a bump in your road. You already know that it's there. Okay, he's going to lay a temptation out in front of you. You're already struggling in a certain area. You know that when you go there, that's going to be imminent. That's going to be right there. Then prepare for it ahead of time. Do something about it. Okay, if you've been down the road before, you see that big bumpy section coming up, you can do something about it. Make some adjustments. Focus on what you're doing, what you're about to do, and you don't have to spill your coffee. Because the enemy's going to try to throw you off course. He doesn't want you to glorify your Father. You already know that. He's going to try to rock your boat. Okay? And he's going to try to get you to capsize it. Because the devil cannot capsize your boat. He needs your assistance to do that. He needs you to panic. He needs you to say, whoa, I guess we're going to go over. And off we go. Okay? Instead of just enduring that little bit of rocking. I knew it was coming. If you're rafting, if you're doing anything, you see that stuff coming, you do something about it. You brace yourself. You do what you need to do so that it doesn't spill your boat. Okay? Don't let the enemy throw you off course. The Bible says God will never tempt you above that which you are able, but will always, with the temptation, provide a way out. Okay? God will always provide a way out. That's his word to you. Okay? The devil's the one that makes you think there's no other alternative than to just capsize and try to make it to shore and start over. Okay, the devil says that, not God. God says, nope, your boat can be almost completely over, but there's still a way out. I'll give you that way. God said he would and he will. This isn't some strange or some foreign thing that is coming at you. Okay, you know that it's coming, so prepare yourself. Okay, you already know that it's coming, so do something about it. See it as an opportunity to overcome. See it as an opportunity for success. Okay? See it as a time that when you get through that rough section of road and your coffee is still in its cup, then you can rejoice about it. Then you have a moment with God and say, God, thank you. I made it through that. We got through this one, God, and give him that little bit of credit because he deserves it. You know, maybe you've had trouble with gossiping and now you're going to go over to a friend's house and you know that sometimes that's what you do. Okay? Maybe you've struggled with lust, and now you're going to go into an environment we know that's been difficult for you in the past. Maybe you're going to the mall in Cheyenne or something, and you've got your rent money in your pocket, and you know that it's going to be hard not to spend that. Okay, if you know that you're going into a situation where the devil has tempted you and had his way with you before, prepare yourself. Okay, you know the temptation is going to be there, so prepare ahead of time. Prepare like you're going into battle. Okay, prepare like you're getting ready to fight. Okay, you're going into a battle, so prepare, get ready to fight. Because without the battle, there could be no victory. Okay? If you never engage, if the devil never engaged you, you would not get victory over some of those things that are in your life. Okay? When you see a little bit of victory over something that he has tempted you with many times before, you're going to be encouraged in your faith. It means you made it through a trial of your faith. You know that God is still at work in your life. You know that he who has begun a good work and you will perform it unto the end. He will finish what he has started. God's goal the entire time with your life from this moment until you are in heaven is that you glorify him. He will help you to do that. He wants you to be victorious over those things in life. He wants you to grow and to flourish in your walk with him so much so the devil hates it and he might throw more things at you. But you know what? They get easier and easier to brush off to the side. You ain't rocking my boat that way, buddy. Get out of here. I'm going on with God. And it gets easier and easier. He will always try to rock it, though. Never think he won't. Okay, it's when you get to that overconfident, you think you've arrived, you're going to be in trouble. Okay, how are you going to handle the trial of your faith? Okay, because you're in one. So how are you going to handle it? What are you going to do when the devil's putting that squeeze on you? Okay, he's pressuring you with that temptation or pressuring you going through tribulation. Are you going to handle it patiently? Or are you going to lose control, lose your cool, maybe do some damage with your tongue? Okay. Are you going to wander off, go off into Never Never Land? Maybe go try some of the ways of the world. You know, they deal with it. Some of them, they don't want to deal with their problems, so they, you know, medicate, self-medicate, some of that. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, are you going to go off and do those things to try to solve your problem the way the world solves problems? I want to encourage you not. I want to encourage you to do the opposite. Determine yourself and solidify that commitment to Jesus. Just determine, you know what? I'm setting my heart and my mind right here, right now, that no matter what may come my way, I'm going to endure it unto the end and I'm going to glorify my Father. Okay, know this as we close this morning. God does not expect you to go through these trials and the trial of your faith alone. Okay, it's not like a contest where you got to run the race and win it before he gives you the prize. Okay, it's not like he's waiting for you to arrive at the finish line. He is with you right here and right now. Okay, he is with you right now. God has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, the same Jesus that said, "In this world you will have tribulation," also said, "Behold, I am with you even unto the end of the world." Okay, Jesus is right here, right now with you. You can pass the test. Okay, you can gain victory. You can gain ground over those temptations. You can endure the trial of your faith and come out on the other side, shining brighter and brighter and brighter for Jesus Christ. You can glorify God with your life. God will get you through. Okay, he didn't bring it on you, but he'll get you through. And when you come through, you'll know who to thank. Okay, you'll be giving him the praise and the glory and the honor for all that he has done. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising you this morning, and I thank you, Lord. I know some of the things that you've brought me through in life, Lord. I know that I probably wouldn't even be here today if you had not done what until now and from now until heaven, Father. We're going to give you the praise and the glory and the honor and the thanks. We're going to look to you and determine to be committed to you more than ever. We're committed to our walk with you. We're committed to our talk with you. We're committed to our life in Christ Jesus, that we walk it out as a man or woman of God, knowing where our help comes from. Father, we stay united with one another in church and brethren and the Bible. We pray, we honor you, knowing that you are right here with us, Lord, during everything that comes up. And Lord, we acknowledge the enemy's going to try. But Father, we know that you are trying harder. You're the big God. You're the one that created him. So that, Lord, whatever he tries to do or throw our way, that you easily have a way out of that temptation. You have a way through and over and under and around these trials and temptations. Father, you can get it done. And Father, we're going to praise and worship you and exalt you for it. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.